Good evening. Welcome to Shamish Baptist Temple. Let's all stand as we get ready for the service. I'll open some word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you again for this day, Lord. Just thank you for each one's out. Be the ones that are not here, Lord. You know the reason the sicknesses or traveling, Lord. Just pray to be with them. Look after them. Again, be with the service tonight. I might honor and glorify you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all take your hymn. Let's turn to hymn number 223. Springs of Living Water.
Thank you.
Said, amen. Thank you, maybe.
Broken every chain, there's salvation in your name. lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.
Well, praise the Lord. Tell you what, those kids can make pianos sound pretty good. That is a blessing. I'm glad that we invest for the future. I think you see my vision. We have that over there, Patch the Pirate, on Wednesday nights to get children so they're not afraid to stand up here and sing and use their talents for the Lord. It's all about preparing. Matter of fact, camp for years has been used to develop kids to be used at church. It's more than just going to camp and, you know, doing some singing and competing. Everything we try to do is for development to better the church. So, man, it's good to hear those kids sing out. Oh, my goodness, they were singing out. That was awesome. I loved it. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Going to be in Isaiah 43 and 44. I'm going to have to come back and preach from these portions of Scripture right now. I'm just giving us an overview and following an outline book that I have so we can get through the book of Isaiah. But there's so much preaching here that I'll come back, especially in the Isaiah 40 range, and preach several messages to come. If the Lord lets me live that long, that's going to be a goal. So Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to begin reading verse number 1, and you can follow along as I read. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee. So this is pretty important, right? I mean, the Lord that created thee, He's speaking right now. O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Man, how awesome is that? I mean, I could preach a week on just that thought, that we are His. He knows us. We accept Him as our Lord and Savior. I know, this is written Old Testament, it's written about Israel, but it applies New Testament to those that are saved by grace. He knows us, He made us, He created us, He formed us, and we don't need to fear. Man, that's a message for this day and age in which we live. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Hallelujah, I'm redeemed. Do you know that you're redeemed tonight? I'm redeemed. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I can't think of a better person or a better entity to have me than God. And I'm God's. I'm God's because He bought me. He paid the price for my salvation. Heaven's my eternal home because of the work that He did. I am so thankful that I'm saved. And then look down to chapter 44, on over to chapter 44. And, you know, it's good to know here we're going to find out that Israel's the Lord's chosen. But again, we cross over to the fact that we are His also. And because of salvation, verse 1, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen, thus saith the Lord, that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grasses, willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me there is no other God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it, and set in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are come and shall come, and let them show unto them. Fear not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? I am so thankful we are the Lord's. Lord, we come before you tonight. We love you and we thank you for the precious promises found in your word. I pray to God that you would use Isaiah 43 and 44 to speak to our hearts. And we understand this is written for the nation of Israel and the promises that you're giving them. But God, we also know that as children of God, that many of those things that you have promised them carry over to us as children, as of you, as those that have been bought with a price. You are our God. And you knew us and you created us. You knew us in the womb. What precious promises there are there. And God, you have a plan for us. And I pray that we'd be faithful to that plan. I pray that we'd walk with you. And Lord, it'd be our desire to seek you and to know you and to be found in the center of your will. Thank you for this time together this evening. We love you and we ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. And so the first thing we see is that Isaiah reveals the one true God. And for the sake of time, I'll give you this. You can write it down and read it later. But Isaiah 43, 1 through 28. Isaiah 43, 1 through 28. And then Isaiah 44, 1 through 8. And Isaiah 44, 21 through 28. And so 1 through 28, 1 through 8, and 21 through 28. And so Isaiah reveals the one true God. And he goes on, our first point under this, letter A, if you would, is because of his grace. He is ours. He has redeemed us because of his grace. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Man, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I was just sharing with someone before church tonight. I know where I'd be if it wasn't for the grace of God. All I have to do is look at my family members, look at those that I went to high school with, but by the grace of God, I'd be there. By the grace of God, I'd be tied up and involved in those simple activities that would keep me from serving God. Now, I want you to know, I'm right where I want to be. I want to be walking with God. I want to be serving Him. I have no desire to go back to the past. There's nothing there that allures me, especially now I get this far down the road and I look back and I see what it's cost people to live that way. I'm so glad I chose to walk with God. I'm so glad that I chose Him and that He chose me and that He's my Savior. And the Lord does many things for the people of Israel, and He does many things for us also. First of all, we see that He protects them. He protects them. In 43, 1 through 2, we read, But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon me. So it's good to know whether we go through fire or we go through water, God is there to take us through. Well, what do you mean fire and water, preacher? Well, how about tribulation and troubles? I mean, they're all about us. Amen. And it's good to know that God is there with us. He holds our hand. He leads our steps. We follow Him. He has promised to be by our side. He'll be with us through the rivers, through the waters. They're not going to overflow us. They're not going to overcome us. that we can be victorious as we walk with Him. We can walk through the fire. Now, I'm not talking about literal fire. Maybe God would do that. But we're talking about the fire of trials and tribulations and issues and problems. And it says, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. If we'll just seek to walk with God, God will bless us and protect us. And then He protects these from their enemies. In Isaiah 43:14 through 17, we read, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans who cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. And so they have the promise of God. Though the enemies come, and though they would buffet you, and they would fight you, yet our Redeemer is the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. And we need not fear enemies. We need not fear trials and tribulations and issues and problems around us. We just need to learn to trust. The second thing we find is that He prefers them. They are chosen above all other nations. There in verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah 43, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopian Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. I'll underline that if you're an underliner in your Bible. Thou wast precious in my sight, and thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Boy, underline the fact that we are precious, that we are loved, and therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. He prefers chosen above all nations. God loves His people. At this time, He's working with the church age. He's working with those who have been saved, those who have accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, and we are precious in His sight. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, Psalms 115, I believe it is, verse 16, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saint. We are precious tonight in the sight of the Lord. And we can glory in that. We can take a refuge in that. And to know that we are loved. Amen. This world is seeking to know about love and they want to be loved. And Hollywood skews a picture of what real love is. And God is the one that has the real answer and holds the real key to the real truth of what God's love is all about. And so we're thankful that He loves us. And then He gathers them. He gathers them. He's going to bring them back to Israel. Verses 5 through 9 of Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witness that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is true. There's coming a time that God's calling the nation of Israel back. He's calling His people back home. He's calling them back to Israel. And it's all part of the millennial reign of Christ. And so He's calling His people back. He'll be gathering them back through the tribulation time. He'll be gathering them up to that time that He comes and establishes His thousand-year reign. And the people of Israel will come back. They'll come back to their homeland. They'll come back to their God. And it's going to be amazing to watch that happen. And then we see that He appoints them as His special witnesses. Verses 10 through 13 here in Isaiah 43, and then also Isaiah 44, 6 through 8, that know that He alone is God. So He says in verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. And I have showed where there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? And then Isaiah 44:6-8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is no God. And who as I shall call, and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming, and shall come, let them show unto them, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Man, what a precious promise, and what a precious fact when we think about it. There's no other God like our God. There's none to compare. And though man would make images, and though man would worship stones and rocks and metal and rubber and whatever else they might make an image out of, the sky, the rain, the sun, the stars, whatever they may worship, they all fail to compare to our God. Our God. This is the God of Israel. He is the Lord God, and He is our God because we have accepted that plan of salvation. Thereby we are saved. He is our God. And He ushers in the millennium for them with His Spirit. In Isaiah 43:18-21 says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. I'm telling you, that millennial reign of Christ is going to be an amazing thing. It's too bad that we are saved. We're going to miss it because we're going to go in the rapture. And I believe we're going to be busy enough in heaven. But He's given us a picture here. He's telling us that this is what God's going to do. He's going to bring His people back. He's going to call them home. He is going to be established as their God once again. As He was in the Old Testament, so He will be here at this time as He sets up His millennial reign. He'll fill them with His Spirit, verses 1 through 5 in chapter 44. And then He forgives them in chapter 44, 21 through 24. Says there in verse 22, I've blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and glorified Himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Our God is He that will forgive. I'm so glad that we get to enjoy forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And at this time, as He's setting up that millennial reign, as the children of Israel come back from everywhere, all over the world, God will be forgiving their sin as they seek to repent before Him. He'll blot it out. He'll recognize them as His very own. And then He rebuilds their temple. He causes Cyrus to command that Israel be rebuilt and the temple be restored. And here He's given them a kind of a forerunner, foretaste, that Cyrus would come and He would build the temple. And then undoubtedly, as we're talking the millennial reign, He may have another Cyrus. But we know their temple will be built again. And they will worship Him at the temple, at the Holy Mount, as He is there to rule and to reign. And in spite of their sin, God does all the above, even though Israel has often grieved Him. Man, what a gracious God. I'm so thankful. One of the things I'm really thankful about our God is He's long-suffering. I'm glad He just doesn't give up. Man, He sought me a while. He chased me. As I ran from Him, everywhere I turned, thinking I was getting away from Him, there He was. Because He loved me and He cared. He loves you and cared. You may have the same type of testimony. I ran from Him, but everywhere I tried to run, there was God. God says, I'm there. In spite of your sin, I'm there. And 43:22-28. Then we come to the second point tonight, which is Isaiah ridicules the many false gods. I love this portion. It's just really interesting. And so it's going to be Isaiah 44, verses 9 through 20. Okay? And it's Isaiah ridicules the many false gods. And it's amazing how man has many false gods. The worthlessness of false idols. Those who make and worship them are fools. Them that make and worship them are fools. Look at 44:9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Verse 10, who hath formed a god, small g, or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? He says, look, you're wasting your time. I am the only God. There is no other God. I just want to remind you that it's worthless to make false idols. Number B, or letter B, is the wrath of false idols. Someday God will judge all paganism. Verse number 11. Behold, all His fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen that are of men, let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. All the idol worshippers one day will be judged. All their paganism will be judged. They'll be ashamed. They'll stand before God. They'll be in fear. It's great that God will forgive their sin, but they've tried to replace God in their idols. The workmanship of false idols. Verses 12 through 17, Isaiah describes the backbreaking labor required to shape these expensive idols. Verse 12, the smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashioneth it with hammers and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. And he marketh it out with a compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn. For he will take thereof and warm himself, yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and fall down thereunto. He burneth part thereof in the fire with part thereof. He eateth flesh. He roasteth roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself and saith, ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue of, he maketh a god. Does this sound foolish to anybody else but me? I mean, yeah, we're going to cut down this tree, and we're going to make a fire. Probably a Matt Potts fire, if you've ever seen one of Brother Matt's fires, man. He can get it rolling. We're going to have this fire, and you can cook some bread, and you can warm yourself, and well, you cook some meat. But then we're going to take the other half of the tree, and we're going to make a god, so we can worship it. Is that just like brain dead? I mean, it's dumb. And that's the way it is. God's trying to point out, look at the craziness of your thinking. Deliver me, for thou art my God. And then I just go back and say that verse again. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. And he falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and say, deliver me, thou art my God. That's dumb. That's like falling down before this pulpit and saying, oh, God pulpit, I need your help, you know, and think that this pulpit's going to do anything for you. It can't do anything. And by the way, when you take a tree and you cut it down, it's no longer alive. It's dead. Which is a picture of all false gods. They're dead. There's nothing they can do for you. The wickedness. This is letter D. The wickedness prompting false idols. Chapter 44, 18 through 20. Those who carve out idols willfully blind themselves to the truth. They have not known nor understood. For he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. You know, you get involved in that stuff and you just get blinded. Your eyes get shut. The truth cannot penetrate. You're blind to the truth. And you follow that with your heart and you can't understand. Someone would come and try to talk sense, and none considereth in his heart. Neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I've roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. He deceiveth heart. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Is there not a lie in my right hand? In other words, am I believing a lie? This tree that I've taken and I've carved and I've made it my God and I pray to it and I bow down before it. The truth's not even in me. I'm blinded. The truth is not even in me. I believe the lie of what I created. And the sad part is, it's happening today. It's not always a tree. It might be a bank account, car, house, stuff. Amazing how stuff can get a hold on people. Amen? I'll just be honest, there's times I like to watch Hoarders. But I can only take so much of it. I can only take so much of it. Then I'm thinking, okay, Miss Lynette, get in there and clean that place up. I've been, we thought there for a while, Cindy could go any time. And I said, listen, I said, do me a favor. Let's go through our stuff and let's size it down. There's no need to have a bunch of stuff for kids that are just going to come in, oh, I don't care about that, and throw it away. Let's just size it down. Let's just bring it down. We'll feel better about it. And, you know, you go on and live another 30, 40 years, you're still going to feel good about not having all that junk to walk around and deal with. She's talked about for years she'd like to have a tiny house. And I'm like, yeah, what, in a big barn to put all your stuff in? Because she likes stuff. But listen, I'm so thankful for my salvation. I'm so thankful to know that without Christ, I'd probably be this dumb, this crazy. Christian, we've got to guard that we don't become distracted by things and stuff, that we fail to worship the one true God. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight and we thank you so much for the truth of your word. We thank you, dear God, to know that we're saved and on our way to heaven. What a blessing it is to know that you love us and care for us. God, we thank you so much for that. We pray to God that you would help us to examine our hearts and our lives. Lord, that we would seek to walk with you and know you and be found pleasing in your sight. Thank you for this picture into what's going to be happening around the millennial reign of Christ and all that will be going on. And Lord, might it also be a picture to us today of mankind, where travel to the foreign fields and you see these totem poles and carved things out of wood, and yet God can't help but come back to America and think that those idols just taken a different form. Help us to be pure of those things. Help us to seek to love You, to know You, to serve You, and to put You first in all we do. We love You. Ask these things in Your name. Amen. If you would stand with me, we're going to have a song of invitation. You want to come and pray, I'd encourage you to do that here or at the altar. And then we will continue on. Lord, spoken to your heart, would you come? I surrender all. Out.